There are times when life becomes difficult, and it affects all of us in different ways. In my opinion, particularly over these last months, it seems to me like there is an increasing number of Christians who suffer from anxiety and other kinds of mental issues. Anxiety is a manifestation of worry, and it can lead to panic attacks, post-traumatic stress episodes, and even send you into depression. And yes, I know what Jesus said about this. In Matthew 6:25, he said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." And then again, I know this passage, at least in my head, hopefully in my heart. In Philippians 4, it says this, listen carefully. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." I sometimes had not noticed he spoke about our minds. The way we think is important when it comes to anxiety. I don't bring a lot of things to the pulpit with me, but I did today because we have three daughters. Our youngest girl, who lives over in West Palm Beach, she and I, over the last couple years, have been doing studies together with a particular author, and it has been very strengthening to us. And one day, she sent me this. It's a statement that this particular Bible teacher made, and she knew how much it had meant to us over the last couple of years, and so she put it in a frame, and I have this on my shelf right by my desk in my home office. And here's what it says. I mean, it brought me to tears when she sent it. Here's the quote from the Bible teacher. "It keeps us from organizing our lives around the darkness." To which I know what you're going to say. What does help us not to organize our lives around the darkness? How do we do that? That's the message for today. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, just one verse. And I will draw 4 points out of this verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. "These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." These do, he says. Put these into practice. So our question is this. How do we keep from organizing our lives around the darkness? Because we have a tendency to focus on the problems and forget who we are and what we should be thinking and how we should be living. First, here's what he says. We need to learn from others. Look at that verse again. "These things which you learned." We need to learn from others. These are the things you need to do, and the God of peace will be with you. We need to learn from others. If you are letting anxiety and worry get a hold of you, find some people, this verse says, who know how to trust the Lord better than you do, and study their lives, he says. Ask them about their faith. Be discipled by their examples. Model their conduct on what you learn about them when you talk to them. Meet with them. Let them share their experiences or tell their story about what God did for them given a certain circumstance. Turn back a page and I'll show you this same thought of learning from others. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. It couldn't be clearer. If you want to have victory in your life, if you want to live as a disciple, if you want to have victory over worry and anxiety and some of the problems you're facing, then watch us, Paul says, and other people who know how to handle that. Do what we do. Talk as we talk. Think as we think. Live as we live. Die as we die. Follow our example as we follow Christ. So the first way to have victory over anxiety and worry and all of these things is to learn from others, he says. Now I'm back again in Philippians 4, verse 9. I'm going to read it again. These things which you learned. That was our first point. Learn from others. And received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Second word, received. He says, it's not just the people that you learned from or should learn from, but what you've received from me. You say, well, what does he mean by that? Our first thought, learn from others. Second, read their writings. Yeah? What had they received from the Apostle Paul? His notes, his letters, his written teachings. This is what guides us today. We have a compilation of his writings that were given to local churches, to pastors, and there also are these general epistles in the New Testament written by Peter and James, the book of Hebrews. John wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, three letters, the book of Jude. What he's saying is, what you've received, we received these writings. We're reading what Paul wrote to them to try to strengthen them in the midst of all of their troubles and pain and problems and sorrow. And we get to read the same letters. Amen. How wonderful is that? That 2,000 years later, we pick up the same letters that strengthened those people in those particular local churches and those particular pastors who were trying to pastor the churches. And we can be blessed by what we are reading. And so, interesting, we are to learn from others and we are to read their writings. May I remind you that even the writers of Scripture read the writings of the other writers of Scripture? I'm going to tell you about a person and I'll show you one of his writings. He was the choir director, the leader of all of the Levitical choirs for King David. And he says when he writes, which is in our Bible, that he started struggling with depression. I'll give you a chapter. In fact, let's turn to it. Take your Bible, turn back to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. His name is Asaph. He leads choirs. He's a music director. He's in ministry. He's serving God. He's bringing people's voices up to God. But I have written across this chapter, this is a cure for depression, because this man was going into depression. He even starts out in the first verse, I cried out to God with my voice. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. But here's what I want you to notice. We're not going to study this chapter, but it would be a wonderful chapter to study. But do you know one of the ways that he got strength for his depression and his emotional problems? He read some of the other scriptures. I'll show you. You're in chapter in Psalm 77. Look at verse 19. He says, your way was in the sea, speaking to the Lord. Your path was in the midst of great waters. And your footsteps were not known, but you were leading your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And here is Asaph, who's writing what becomes scripture, referring back to the passages in the Old Testament where God took his people through the Red Sea. And he said, you know what, Lord, that was must have been a frightening experience for them, but you walked them through. And they found out they didn't need to be afraid of the water. Thank you, Lord. And here's one writer referring to another writer of Scripture. I love that. I'm going to give you one more illustration. You know Daniel the prophet. Did you know that Daniel studied some of the other prophets to get information so that he could understand what was happening in his day and what was going to happen? Look at Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Chapter 9. I love this. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, Daniel says, in the first year of his reign, that was a particular king, I, Daniel, understood by books, literally the scrolls, the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Oh my, Daniel says, I was reading Jeremiah's prophecies that God gave him. The people will only be in captivity for 70 years. I got that from Jeremiah, your servant, Lord. Thank you for sending me back to the writings of another prophet to give me strength and encouragement in my day when I'm facing some of the heartaches and brokenheartedness over our people. So what am I saying? When we read the book of Philippians, as we are this morning, the Apostle Paul is still mentoring us through his writings. It is possible to read our way through to greater peace of mind if we read the right books. And this is one of them. I've often thought this. Boy, wouldn't it have been great to sit down with somebody like Dr. Francis Schaeffer, who who in his day stood up for truth in the midst of everything starting to go the wrong direction, even in church. And then I thought to myself, oh, I still can sit down with him because I've got some of his books on my library shelf, and I reach over and I bring them out and I sit there, and Dr. Francis Schaeffer teaches me from his writings. That's what Paul said. He said, you need to learn from others, and then you need to read their writings that they have given. And we have lots of writers that we can learn from Scripture and other godly men who can help us. So, don't be afraid to get with somebody that you believe seems to have an ability to trust God through some circumstances that you're having difficulty with. Don't be afraid to get your Bible out and read it. And maybe the writer of a godly man who addresses a particular subject from Scripture for you. So, first, we learn from others. Second, we read their writings. Go back again to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. These things which you learned and received, that's the writings, and heard. Paul says, you need to listen to the sermons. You need to listen to your pastor. You need to listen to the person who is preaching to you God's word. Listen to the sermons, he says. You do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is one of the reasons why we go to church, to hear God's word. Once again, I want you to turn to another passage to give an explanation of this point about listening to sermons. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a powerful couple of verses that talk to us. In fact, since I'm doing the preaching right now and you're doing the listening to the sermon, this verse is going to tell you how to listen. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing. Now this is Paul writing to this local church. Why are you so thankful, Paul? Because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you received it or welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectually works in you who believe. Now notice, he says, I'm so thankful because of the way you received the Word of God. This time, not which was written, but what they heard. He said, when I preach to you, you've heard. So this is the oral word being set forth. And then he says, when you heard it, the King James says you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The New King James says you welcomed it. Here's the idea. When you heard the word of God with your ears, that's the outward hearing. You also heard it in your heart. That's the inward hearing of the Word of God. Wow. And then he says at the end of verse 13, which also effectively works in you who believed. It changed your lives when you heard the Word of God preached. And how many of you will say, I remember the church service I was in, pagan as I was, or non-church goer, or whatever it was, and I remember going into church, and you've heard me give testimony about sitting there and all of a sudden hearing this man of God stand up and say, I want you to open your Bibles to the Word of God, and then he preached. And I'm telling you, partway through that, I was like convicted about where I was and where I was living and so forth. Listen to sermons, he says. Let me paraphrase this passage. He says, and we will never stop thanking God for you, that when we preached to you, you didn't think of the words we spoke as being just our own words, but you accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is, and it changed your lives when you believed it. Listening, let me tell you, sometimes the listening for me was not always in church. Now, some of you are going to know what I'm talking about. Some of you, the younger generation, is probably going to go, what? When I was a boy in grade school and up through high school, when I was living at home, every Sunday morning, my dad had the radio on. Okay, now you got to remember, in those days, there weren't computers and cell phones and all of this stuff. We had three television stations. Hello, just three. So you either got your information from television or the radio, and my dad had the radio on Sunday morning. And here's what I would hear as I was getting ready for church. I would hear this man start playing the piano and the congregation sing, heavenly sunshine, flooding my soul with glory divine. And this man on the piano playing, his name was Rudy Atwood, by the way. I later would invite him to my church, and he played that for us. But anyway, I would hear that music. And then I would hear, this is the way it was announced every time. And from the Municipal Auditorium in Long Beach, California, our speaker, Dr. Charles E. Fuller. And then Dr. Fuller would step up. And I can hear Dr. Fuller's sermons as a boy, as I'm getting ready for church. I could hear him in there preaching over the radio. A lot of ways to hear God's word. I as a pastor, used to listen at 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock to Radio Pulpit, right here in this area. Bill Caldwell, the station manager at that time of Keswick Radio, always introduced the speakers the same way. The music would stop. It'd be 8 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At this time, Keswick Radio presents God's Man with God's Message. Our speaker, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, or somebody. And now, Dr. Wiersbe. He always introduced it that way. But I listened because I wanted to hear the preaching. I wanted to hear what these men of God had to say about the Word of God so that I could learn, so that I could in turn share it with the congregation. Wow, how interesting. So first, go back once again to our text, which is Philippians 4. Verse 9. The things which you, number one, you learn from others and receive or read their writings and heard. You heard their sermons. Finally, he says, and what you saw in me. Learn from their example. Learn from the example of these people. I'm telling you, in a church family, there are some of you who can help others, and some of you need to go to others that you have noticed, and you need to learn from their example. What you've seen in me, Paul says, put it into practice. All through my ministry, we had pastoral interns that worked alongside of me for 40 years. And we brought those interns in, and they were with us for a year. And it was a part of their training with the seminaries around the country. And I brought them into the staff meetings. I brought them into the leadership meetings. We met all day on Monday. And I would then meet with them personally. And you know what it was all about? I would go to the hospital. I would take the intern with me. I would get permission sometimes with people I might counsel. I'll say, would you care if my intern sits in here at the back of the office? He will not say a word. Could he just listen? Now, sometimes people didn't want that, but a lot of times people say, that's fine, I don't care. I said, I want him to hear. I don't know what the problem is going to be that we're going to talk about, but I'd like for him to hear how I handle these things. The importance of mentors and models to help us take the word and give us strength for our journey. Learn from the example of others. Now I'm going to read a passage as we close. And after I read the passage, one of the Bible teachers gave an alternative reading to this particular passage. He said, I'm going to give you the DEV, not the KJV or the New King James Version or the NIV. He said, I'm going to give you the DEV, the Devil's Everyday Version. Okay, now listen. I'm going to read the verses, and then I'll read the devil's version that some Christians I know, follow. Okay, here I go. Rejoice in the Lord always, the Bible says, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, things that are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And then our verse. The things which you have learned and received and heard and you've seen in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's the devil's version of that. Doubt in the Lord always, and again I say, doubt. Let your fretfulness be evident to all. The Lord has forgotten you. Be anxious about everything, and in every situation, by mistrust and misery, with thanklessness, wring your hands before God. And the weight of the world, which transcends all understanding, will grip your hearts and minds as you lose your grip on Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is aggravating, whatever is agitating, whatever is alarming, whatever is threatening, or upsetting, whatever is unnerving, if anything is disquieting or disturbing, think on those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen in me, ignore. And the God of peace will elude you. Wow. To which an author says, here's a good way to bury worry. Rejoice in every circumstance. Be gentle. God is near. In every daily happenstance, refuse to live in fear. But pray instead. With trusting heart, try gratitude and praise, for God has promised to impart his peace through all your days. So think of him amid the hurry. Follow heroes that are true. Then you can learn to bury worry before worry